Good morning, everybody. This morning was great. Great to hear all the talents, hear all the different aspects that we do on a Sunday morning. It's a privilege to be speaking with you this morning. I have a great opportunity to share with you all. And for those of you who do not know who I am, I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I'm actually blessed to oversee youth and young families. You probably want to know my name, too. But it's Alex. With this great opportunity, it's giving me, we're going to share something that Steve and Doug and I have been talking about for the last few months. And I have the privilege of starting off a three-week series that you're going to be covering over the next 3 weeks. And it's outlining the vision of the church for equipping and discipling our body. This isn't something new that we're rolling out. This is just taking everything that we've done over the years and putting it in to something and making it available. And we're just compiling all that information together and making it easy for you to get. Because if you take notice, there's a few new faces in our congregation. And over the last 5 years, there's a lot of new faces. I've been here for about 9 years now. And there is a lot of new faces over the last 5 years. So this is just old information that we're reintroducing. And the reason we're reintroducing it was actually because the initial task was for me to explain how our Sunday morning kids programming works and how we disciple our children. And through that, Doug and I and Steve kind of were talking about it and we're asking the questions to each other, and we realized that one thing doesn't go without the other. So Sunday morning doesn't go without kids programming, and kids programming doesn't go without home life and community, and so on. So if you guys in the back can get the continuum up, that's kind of what we thought of. As you see, Celebration Sunday, right now, works into home life, and home life works into community groups. Community groups works into Celebration Sunday, and you can almost have a backwards on the home life into Celebration Sunday, but it just all works in together. One falls into each other, and in order for them to succeed, they need each other. And many combined influences make a greater impact than just many influences. So, as you see up there, it's not just one thing that is influencing our children. It's not one thing that is influencing you or I. It's many things. But I'll explain more of that in a second, but let's just have one more word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and look at your great name. God, we just thank you for your presence here today. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit be poured out on us as we dive into your word. Father, may we realize that we are greater together. Father, that we are called to be a family of families. We are called to do greater things together. So Father, as we learn more about this, Father, I pray that our minds be ready to receive, our ears are ready to hear, and our hearts are ready to take it in. So Father, I just pray over this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Wasn't it great seeing Nick up here sharing his heart? I think it was. Personally, Nick, you did a great job. Thank you. It was awesome to hear what was on his heart, what God laid on his heart. And now having that come out in development of his thoughts. But those thoughts just didn't happen by accident. They didn't just come from nothing. There are people that were in his life influencing and guiding him to this point. If you look at it, there would be his parents. There would be his peers in a small group. There would be church leaders and those who are helping and working with him and teaching him the truth. If together we are combining our influence, we have a greater impact on his life. Those are all things coming together, combining to make a greater impact on his life. We all have a role in developing and guiding our church body, no matter what leg of the journey you are in on your spiritual walk. We can all, being in this family, we can all add something to the mix, no matter where you're at. Whether you're up here like Nick was, sharing the Lord's table, or you're up here sharing your talents for music, or you're in the back sharing your technical abilities, or you're just in the congregation praising God, you all add something to the mix. Or you're being a part of this small group, sharing what you gleaned from in a passage or a piece of scripture. Or you're a parent leading your children in prayer or even a Bible story. We all have a part to play in this journey together. We all have a part to play in our family of families, our oikos. Like it says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And depending on your translation, that would be one person sharpens another. As I am reading from the ESV, it says one man, but really we all sharpen another. If we lift each other up and work and walk with each other, we lift each other up to sharpen one another. It's great to see people grow and learn right in front of you. I've had the opportunity, serving for the last little over a year now as the youth and family pastor. But before that, I was helping, mentoring, and leading in different ways. And I've been, like I said earlier, a part of the church family for the last 9 years. And I've seen some of our youth grow up. I've had the privilege of seeing them grow up, leave, stick around, but in the end, being a contributing member of the family. I've had the privilege of even marrying one of my youth. Yeah. No, not that one, Doug. I got to marry Madison and Mitchell this year. And I've seen her develop from senior high. I walked with her and Vicky and Emma. And then they grow into being adults. And then I had that opportunity and leading them through marriage. And like Doug said last week, it's been a privilege to see them grow. We watch our children grow right in front of us. We see them grow from infancy to elementary. And I just want to pause at the elementary age right now. My Aiden is 6, and he is growing up so fast. As you can all see on Facebook and Instagram. He's getting to be a little man. And Asher's right behind him. He's going to be four, and man, he's getting like big guy feeling and mature. It's kind of amusing to watch, but I just want to pause. I want to hold on to that. Adeline's just too cute for words. And I can say that because, well, I'm biased. But as for Aiden and Asher, right now I wish I could just hold them there. Some days. Other days I'm waiting for them to leave. Ah, seriously, I really do. I really do wish I could pause time. Again, quoting Doug from last week, he quoted an author. I'm not going to use the author's name because I learned it from Doug, so I'm going to use Doug. So I'm going to give Doug the credit. And my kids are so innocent right now. They come trailing with clouds of glory. And they ask so many questions about life. And it's our job to guide those questions and lead them through those questions and hold on to that innocence. But it's so difficult. It's so difficult to hold on to those questions because they come in and they ask things like Santa. But you're trying to, like, as we are winding out through the new year, and we just wrapped up Christmas, Santa's on his mind. Is he real? Did he bring me those GTs? Wait, did he bring me the stockings? How do you navigate those without crushing the magic of Christmas and public school because you don't want him to be the one? And you have parents calling your house. But how do you also keep that alive and not muddy the image of Jesus? That's an easy one. That's a very simple task that we have to navigate because it doesn't involve the bigger questions that come later on in life, because that's why I kind of want to pause at elementary age. But how do you not muddy the waters there? How do you navigate truth to make believe? We go to the Word. We go to community. We go to our oikos. We've talked, April and I have talked to many people. How do you do it? Because here's what we think. But how do you do it? And we've kind of come up with a mishmash of everybody's ideals, and really, our focus is on Jesus, as it should be. But it's still one of those things. They come trailing in a cloud of glory. They have so many questions. And I'm just starting this parenting journey. And like I said, I'm new at it. And I fear the day when the glory slowly fades away. And the world is a dreadful place. I have firsthand seen some of the underbelly that this world has to offer. Why the little ones lose their luster and their clouds of glory. I want to protect them with every fiber of my being. I want to see them raised up, knowing that they serve an amazing God. That this is a promise that can't be broken. God's promises are never broken. I am not enough for my kids. Personally, I am not enough for my kids. I can't claim that I am enough for my kids because that role belongs to God. I need to direct them to that. like it says in Deuteronomy verse 6, if you want to turn there with me. And it's verse 4 to 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command to you today shall be on your heart." This is talking to the adults right now. This is talking to me. This is my responsibility to learn. This is my responsibility to treasure up in my heart. That's the first part of the passage is to us. The adults in the room right now. "You shall teach them diligently," verse 7, "to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, and you shall bind them up as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorsteps of your house and on your gates." We are teaching our children. We are to be learning God's truths so that they may affect our lives and help us navigate the journey. We must treasure those things up. Post them. And literally, it means post them. They put them over your house. April's got them at the back door, and that's one of the last things you see as soon as you leave the house. Or she had them on the bathroom mirror, although Asher's too short to see them. And he can't read. But that's besides the point. But put them in places where you can see them before you leave, or when you're together, or when you're spending a lot of time. I didn't ask them, but I'm going to do it anyways. Whenever you're in Florence and Steve's bathroom, it's right by the toilet. So I don't know what that says about Steve. Right by the toilet, like you can see them right there, and it's right at eye level. It's great. No, that's Florence's handwriting, but she's a good wife, and she wants to make sure you learn. I didn't ask them, so I'll take the punishment later. Like I said, though, I am learning, and I don't stand up here with all the answers. Don't think I'm standing up here giving you the answers. I stand up here humble and humbly learning. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a good, loving home by two hardworking parents who taught me good morals, good values. And they did take me to church. I started out going to a Catholic church, and that's where I started to learn about who Jesus was and who God is. And that's where I began to discover the truths. But both my parents, for all intents and purposes, raised me right. I had a good home life. I had a very good home life. They gave me the opportunities they could afford for me. They did what they could for me and my sister. However, again, I am learning. And one way we learn is from a setting just like this. Someone's up here sharing what God has placed on their heart. And for instance, last week when Doug shared what was on his heart, it made me hold my time with my kids that much tighter. That the time with them is precious. I understand we can't keep our kids in the elementary age forever. But we must listen to them. Take time for them. Don't power through raising your child. Because the time you take raising your child will have a profound impact on their lives. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Something Doug said stuck with me. Children come innocent. They don't come sinless, they come innocent. Nobody needed to teach Asher how to lie. I hear a scream in the other room, and I walk in, and Aiden's sitting on the couch, and Asher's just standing there yelling. What happened? Aiden says nothing. Asher says, he hit me. Found out, nothing. But it made me think how we can take advantage. How can we take advantage of the innocence? How can we encourage parents raising their child in a cloud of glory? By teaming up and working together as a community. A solo act doesn't work. There are so many passages in the Bible talking about community, talking about family, talking about family of families, the oikos. The Bible encourages community. It says in Hebrews 10:24, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not to neglect to meet together as the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." If we understand what the writer in Hebrews was trying to say, portray in this passage, it would excite you, because it really did excite me. The writer was encouraging Christians to meet in community. In community. Like this. With the goal of strengthening each other's faith. And another community we have is community groups. And to realize that this is a team effort. We are greater together. If this doesn't advocate for the need that you guys need to be plugged into a community group, I really don't know what will. The Bible is calling us into community, to build one another up, to grow with one another and learn from each other. I can understand how hard it is sometimes to find a community group and regularly participate, because April and I had a hard time accomplishing this goal with just the stage of life we're in. But we made it work because community is important. Community with your fellow Christian is important. We made it work. We started leading our own group. Because community is important. But community is so important in your Christian walk. Finding someone to walk with this journey is so important. Not just in a group, but finding someone personal, one-on-one, who helps you and leads you and guides you. And you can do the same. Help them, lead them, guide them. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, "Two are better than one." Where'd you hear that before? "Because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and three cord is not quickly broken. I am so unbelievably blessed to have so many people walking with me through this journey. I am surrounded by some insanely smart youth. Who said like me? That's not bashful at all. However, they do challenge me. They keep me on my feet. They keep me thinking. They keep me going. I am mentored by them at times, because they ask questions that I have to say, I don't know. Let's find out together. And I have an accountability partner in Andrew Shannon. He and I, about over a year ago, decided that we would partner together. We meet and talk regularly, and we make it a point to gather in community with our families. I'm also mentored by some very great minds, and I have the absolute privilege of sitting under the knowledge tree of Steve and Doug. It is like I am their Timothy and they are my Paul. I have grown so much from just being in this community. That is why I want my children to grow in this community. Aren't we rich, church? Aren't we rich? We're rich. We are so rich in family. We are rich when it comes to our community. I don't know if you've noticed, I've been quoting a lot from Doug's message last week. And there's a reason for that. It's actually a really good illustration. I learned so much from last Sunday. I want you to think about something. Do we take Sunday morning as an attitude of habit? Or are we giving God our very best in this moment? My attention was really not on Doug, but it was on God and what he was trying to teach me on that day. Are we looking to meet with God? In Psalms 63, verse 1, it says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Are we seeking God in a manner that is giving him our best? I'm not saying that to guilt you, but if it's working, go with it. Just go for it. But the reason I'm saying this is because our kids watch us. Anybody hear that? I think it's Trace Atkins. You know, Dad, I've been watching you. I'm your buckaroo. I want to be just like you. I'm not going to sing. I'll leave that to my wife. But our kids watch us. They see how we act on Sunday morning. They see us giving our all. And trust me, they know when we're not. They know when we're just dialing it in. If we don't give God our best, how are they to learn what giving him our best look like? when we worship God, we shouldn't be expecting this big wow, whoa moment. In fact, we live in a society where we can worship freely. We can hear God through speaking of a message. And that wow moment, I am wowed that he loves us so much that he's equipped people who are gifted musically, gifted in prayer, in leadership, technical abilities, public speaking. This was all portrayed this morning. And we sometimes take that for granted, yet we should be wowed by it. That God has blessed us so much. Have you made room in your heart so God can bless you in that way? We need to take advantage of this. Learn from this time. Start our week out by giving our very best. Sunday is the start of the week. If you look at the calendar, Sunday's the beginning. Are we giving him our very best at Sunday? Because the rest will flow from that. Sunday morning is where home life and community meet together. This is where we bring it all together and become a family of families. So I want to call the band back up. We don't normally do this, but again, I'm privileged having someone in the band married to me, not you, Andy.
Amen.
Amen, brother. And I know the song list ahead of time, and it was kind of one of those things that was kind of cool. The title of my message before I even knew what the song list was is We Are Greater Together. And they played Greater Together. So I'm going to close out if you guys just want to start playing a little bit. So are we taking this in? Are we considering how much community affects our relationship with God? Are we considering how much community affects our relationship with God? This is why we don't do it very often. We are greater together. We are nothing without you, Lord, but you make us great. You breathe breath into our lungs and you make us greater. When we succeed together, we succeed in modeling our faith to others. It's hard not to live out the gospel when you truly accept it in your life. When the gospel is presented to you in your life, it will change your heart. It's not about programming. It's not about how many cool concerts or fun events we can put on. It's about our community and spurring each other on and doing great things for the kingdom of God. So I want to challenge you with this. Did you give your very best this morning? When they first started out, were you giving your very best? When Nick was sharing in the Lord's table, were you giving your very best? Were you modeling what we are supposed to be modeling to our children? Are you modeling good community? Are we modeling togetherness? Are we modeling a whole? Are we bringing it together? One thing doesn't work without the other. Are we leaving gaps? Because if we leave gaps, that's where the enemy has a foothold. That's where he gets to seep in. Are we going to stand up and shout, "Not today"? Are we going to stand up and give him our very best? Are we going to stand up and say, "God, you are great. I am greater because of you"? Are we going to give him what he deserves? As the band plays, I want you to think of that. Are we giving him our very best? Are we giving him what he deserves? We are greater together. Just like the song says, we are greater together. We serve a great God. Bring that community together. Strive for that community. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that your presence was here today. Father, we thank you that you've given us so much. Father, I pray that we just pleased you with our very best. Father, may we take what we have learned and apply it in our hearts. Father, so that we may go out in community, reach out in our homes, and grow your kingdom, Father. May we grow the minds of those who have heard your message, God, so that our community can grow. God, because we are greater together. We are greater because you made us that way. God, we are greater because you made community that way. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are present here in our lives, at home, at work, in our community groups, with our children right now in Sunday morning, in their programming. Father, I thank you that you have given us this time. I thank you that we are worthy to be called your sons and daughters, Father. And Father, I pray that they take today and run through the week with it, only to come back here again where community and family meet, so that we can lift your name on high, Father, and bring glory to your kingdom. Father, I just pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you, guys, and have a good week.